Well, good morning again, and happy Resurrection Day, right? I believe wholeheartedly that every day is Happy Resurrection Day. We should be celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior all the time. So if you take your Bibles this morning, and open them to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Once you find your place, if you're able to stand this morning, if you would stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. First Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to start in verse 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then all of the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so very thankful that Christ rose from the grave. Up from the grave he arose. And we thank you for that, because he conquered death, because he rose again, because he ever liveth to make intercession for us, we can have eternal life. And I thank you for that, and I thank you for the opportunity to preach it. And this, of course, one of the most wonderful messages in the Bible, that Christ rose from the grave. Not only did he come and die, he laid down his life, but he took it up again, that we could have eternal life. And we thank you for it. We thank you for each one here. We pray, Father, as always, that you'd speak to each heart personally, that you would give me the very words to preach, and we'll not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. When a preacher preaches on the gospel of Christ, he is not preaching one of the most important messages in the Bible. He is preaching the most important message of the whole Bible. The fact that he came, he died, and he rose again. Praise the Lord. I preach that and I just get goosebumps thinking how wonderful it is that we can have salvation in Jesus Christ, that we could be reconciled to God the Father because of what Christ did on our behalf. And there's a lot of people all over the world that are getting up this morning and they're celebrating Easter. Let me tell you, the Bible talks about Easter once.
You can study it if you want to, but it's only written in the King James Version of the Bible one time. And it's a reference to a pagan holiday. Jesus rose from the grave, but it has nothing to do with Ishtar. It has nothing to do with eggs and bunnies and all that. It has to do with Jesus Christ rising from the grave, and that's why I say Resurrection Sunday should be celebrated every day of the year. People put an emphasis on this one day, saying how great this one day is. And I can tell you, years ago, I had a conversation with a guy, and he says, you need to make a bigger deal out of Easter. I said, Easter is a pagan holiday. It's right in the scripture. He said, no, it isn't. It's the very day that Christ rose from the grave. I said, then why does it change every year? Sometimes it's in March. Sometimes it's in April. Why does it change? He says, I don't know. I said, if it was the very day, we would celebrate the very day. But it's not the very day, because it's not Easter. He said, well, I don't believe that. I said, you can believe what you want. I believe we should celebrate Resurrection Sunday every single week. I believe we should celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ every single day. Because had he not risen from the grave, we would all be miserable. Thank God he rose. It is the most important message in the Bible, that he rose from the dead, and he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. You know, many have come and started religions and they've died. People are still following them. Only Christianity, true Christianity, I'm not talking about this quote-unquote Christianity stuff that's out there. I'm talking true Christianity follows a living Savior. And we need to get that. The Bible tells us that belief in the resurrection of Christ is necessary. Do you get that? It's not just maybe might need to have it, but it's necessary for salvation. We have to believe that he came, he died, and rose again to have salvation in Jesus Christ. Had he just come, he'd be like anybody else, right? Come, die, and he's finished. But because he rose again, he is the first fruits of the resurrection. We too can be resurrected. Look at, real quick, Romans 10:9. I should just quote it, but I want you to read it along with me. This is why I say that you must believe in the resurrection for salvation. It says in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Notice it says we have to believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Then it says thou shalt be saved. So we have to confess, we have to believe, and we can be saved. The Bible teaches that everything we believe about Christ, everything hinges on the resurrection. Again, if he had just come and died, he'd be like any other man. But he wasn't just like any other man. He is God himself. If he had not risen from the dead, he is the biggest deceiver that has ever existed in the history of mankind. If he didn't rise from the dead, every nickel and dime we ever give towards spreading the gospel is a waste. If he didn't raise from the dead, every missionary who has given up everything they know in their homeland and gone to a distant land has done it in vain, has wasted their time. If he didn't raise from the dead, every church building that's ever been built was a waste of time. If he didn't rise from the grave, every sermon that a preacher has put countless hours into preparing and delivering is all in vain. What a waste of time for all of that if he didn't rise that third day. But I got good news. He did come out of that tomb. He did rise from the dead. You know, the devil knows that if he can stop the preaching and teaching on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then everything that the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ is gone. If that one part is gone, we have no hope. The devil knows that, and he's working hard to get people to believe that Jesus did not rise that third day. The denial of the bodily resurrection is considered to be the very first heresy of the early church. Can you believe it? The devil knew the significance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he wanted to cancel it out. He wanted to make sure that people didn't believe it, so he had his prophets, not the Lord's prophets, the devil's prophets, out trying to deny it ever happened. Those who do not believe in the bodily resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ do not believe in the gospel of Christ. Because you can't without having his bodily resurrection. You can't believe it unless you believe all of that. He came, he died, and he rose again. Thank God for that. All these things about the life of Christ are summarized in one word. Gospel. Gospel. Yeah. Just what it is that makes the resurrection so important, that all over this nation where churches just like this are celebrating today that Jesus rose from the grave, they should be celebrating every single week. Jesus rose from the grave. I have a problem. People say, well, what's your problem? My problem is people in Easter. Churches have Easter egg hunts, and they try and promote the Easter bunny and all that stuff to the kids and the churches and all, and it's wrong. Promoting a pagan holiday in their churches. People said, well, what's wrong with it? It's giving the kids the wrong idea about the resurrection of Christ. It's going out, and you cannot, I don't care what it is, you cannot take something that is satanic and add some Christian words to it and make it Christian. It doesn't work that way. I've said the same thing about music. They take the words, you know, we can add Christ and we can add God and we can add Jesus and we can add resurrection and we can take satanic music and say it's Christian. No, we can't. You can't do that. They can take the true word of God and they can change a word here or there and say, it's still the Bible. No, it's not. It's satanic. Satan's behind it, trying to get people to change the word of God. We need to understand that the resurrection's important, and I don't care what Satan's trying to get people to believe. But if he can get people to believe in the Easter bunny, then people aren't focused on Jesus.
the fact that the resurrection fulfills Jesus' claim. He said that he would rise the third day. I heard the other day, I was listening to a station which I thought had my favorite talk show guy. He's very conservative. He's a constitutionalist. I like that better than Republican or Democrat or any of that. He believes in the Constitution, which I do too. You have to read it so you can believe it, by the way. Anyway, I thought that's what I had, and I had something else, and this guy had on some goofball that was talking about how Good Friday and how Jesus was crucified on Good Friday. He said, you can't do the math and come up with a resurrection on Sunday then. Doesn't work. I said, wrong answer. Turn it off. You see, because you got to know what you believe, and you got to be able to back it up with Scripture so you can know when you hear the false teachings that they're not true. Jesus said he was the Son of God, that he came to die in our place, that he came to be buried, and 3 days later he would rise from the dead. The Bible says, I lay down my life and I take it up again. There's a big, big discussion out there in the world about who killed Jesus. I'm going to tell you who killed Jesus. Nobody. They may have nailed him to that cross, but Jesus said himself, I lay down my life. I take it up again. There's nothing, no force in the entire universe that could have put him to death. He is God. Thank God that he is. Otherwise, we would be most miserable. Long before Jesus said in person, it was prophesied that he would come and die and rise again. Look at John chapter 11, 25 and 26. John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? He made the promise to everyone who would believe in him that they would never die. If he had died and remained in the grave, how could we place our faith in him? If he'd never risen again, how could we put our faith in Jesus, who couldn't do for himself what he said he was going to do for us, if he was still in that grave, if he didn't rise again? I like the gospel. And since it is the most important message in the Bible, Paul tells the Galatians that any person who alters it in the slightest is cursed. I often think about the new translations. Turn over to Galatians chapter 1. But thinking of the new translations and all, and I'm thinking, has anybody, as they translate that to those what I call perversions, did any of them think about this when they were translating that, adding to and taking away from? Did they think about what God says in his word? Look at Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, where it says, but though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed.
There's liberal preachers and liberal churches all over that don't know what kind of trouble they're in because of what they're doing to the Word of God, what they're teaching and what they're preaching when it comes to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They have no idea. This is an important message. And we need to consider some things, and we need to remember some things as we remember and reflect on what Jesus did for us. So consider the facts of the resurrection, the prophetic fact. Look at Mark 14:58. Mark 14. Verse 58 says, "We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands." Jesus was speaking of his body here, that he would be killed, that he would raise back to life. Again, 3 days later he would do that. They thought he was talking about the temple where they worshipped him. It had taken years to build this thing. And they're thinking, what is he talking about? When Jesus was dying for our sins on the cross, remember what they said. Look over in Mark 15, 29 through 30. Mark 15, 29, and they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross." They hadn't gotten it. They didn't understand what he was doing. They had no idea. Had he come down off that cross, had he saved himself, he would not be able to die and rise again for us. Satan knew. After he got him up on the cross, he knew he had to get him off of it. Jesus wasn't going to fall for any of that. He came to die, to be raised again, to bring salvation to the world. He had to come and die. The thing that had been prophesied happened exactly as he said it would. Then the historical facts. 1 Corinthians 15:4, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Over and over and over, the Scriptures say he was going to come, he was going to die, and he'd be raised again the third day. Paul did not say here that he heard that Jesus was resurrected. He didn't say that he assumed he was resurrected. He didn't even say, "I think he was resurrected." Paul actually stated he rose according to the Scriptures. Some would object. They say they don't believe the Scriptures. Let me just say this. It doesn't matter if you believe the Scriptures or not. They're still true. There's a lot of people who don't believe the Scriptures that are in hell today. There's a lot of people alive today that don't believe the Scriptures, and unless they change and accept what Christ did on the cross for them, they are going to end up in hell. And let me tell you, every single person that's in hell today understands that Jesus is Lord. They understand what they missed out on because they wouldn't believe the Scriptures. People say, "Well, I don't believe it because I didn't see him." Well, let me just tell you this. I wasn't here on this earth when he rose from the dead. I believe he rose from the dead. It's always interesting, this argument they use. "Well, I didn't see him rise from the dead." all that does is reveal their ignorance. I wonder sometimes, these people that say, well, I didn't see him rise from the dead, so I don't believe it happened. So do they use that same philosophy when they look at Abraham Lincoln? Do they use that same when they look at George Washington? How about Napoleon, Winston Churchill? I mean, just a few to throw out. Do they use that same philosophy when they look at those things? Or do they take for granted history says those things happened? Well, we have his story. We have an account of exactly what took place. I wonder. They don't believe in these things because they didn't actually physically see it. It's interesting. Historical books written, do they reject all those? Well, of course they don't. They take the inerrant word of God and they throw it out because they say, I didn't physically see him rise from the dead. Again, doesn't matter if they believe it or not. It's the historical account of what took place. And it teaches that it's historical fact. Then the testimonial fact, 1 Corinthians. Back to our text, 15. Verses 5 through 8. It says, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. Any court in the land would convict a person if three people would testify that said, I saw him do it. If you got three people that would do that, any court, any jury, anywhere in the land would say, they're guilty. If just three testified and said it happened. The Bible records that there were hundreds that saw him after he rose from the grave. Hundreds of them. Hundreds of them. It's amazing. I'd say if I was on the jury and three people came and testified that they physically saw them themselves, that'd be pretty compelling evidence. I've served on three now, three different juries, and there's been some where the evidence hasn't been clear. But I was on one where it was like, I don't even know what we're doing here. This person should have taken a plea deal because this isn't going to end well. The evidence is overwhelming. And when people physically see it and testify that it really happened, that's pretty overwhelming. When you get hundreds of them, and Paul wrote 500 people saw him alive after his death and burial, and most of those 500 were still alive, you could go and talk to them personally. He's not saying, guess what? One person saw him and they're dead. And you need to believe it. That I don't think would carry as much weight. But he's saying anyone can go ask any of these people that are still living today that saw him and could testify of him. Paul says, you don't have to just take my word for it. You can go ask them. You can go ask them. Did you see? There's people.
And I know there's a lot of people in the world and they're following Joseph Smith. Yeah. Claims to found the Mormon church and all. And he copied the Mormon Bible from the golden tablets that he claimed an angel, Moroni, brought down from heaven. No one saw that happen. Well, probably because it didn't. Right? But you just got to take his word for it. Let me just say thanks, but no thanks. Not interested. Not interested in following somebody who just said, oh, by the way, this happened, and nobody witnessed it. Jesus came and died and rose again, and hundreds of people witnessed it. We cannot build our faith on the testimony of one man, especially when his own family denounced what he said. His own family called him a liar. But many, many, and let me just say this, because we go, well, why are they believing that? Because Satan has blinded them to the truth. It's easy to follow something when you're blinded to the truth. The thing that gets me is when people who know the truth would rather believe a lie than the truth. That's what gets to me. When you know the truth. But Satan's deceived them. Paul said all those people who had seen Christ. But you don't need to take their word. Paul says, I saw him. I saw him. Any attorney in the whole country would love to take a case like that to court. Yeah. Overwhelming evidence. You gotta love that. There could be no doubt whatsoever that Christ rose from the grave. Can you imagine how long court would last? Over 500 people come in to testify what they saw. I mean, they think court cases go a long time now. You imagine how much time it would take to get 500 with all the objections and the overrules and the sustains and everything going on through the whole thing? When Christ was resurrected, there was no doubt. People saw him, physically saw him. The scars where the nails pierced his hands. They talked to him, they touched him. And there was prophetic and historic testimony. All of this was evidence of his resurrection. Then we need to consider the fruition of the resurrection. It produced some things that are still being produced today. So what does it produce? It produces instant joy. Instant joy. When Christ was crucified, all seemed lost. Can you imagine? There had been some sad days in Christianity, but when Jesus died, that had to be the saddest day for Christianity. Here's the men and women who had forsaken all their religions, all their jobs, all of their families to follow him, and now he's dead. Wow. Can you imagine? They had seen him perform miracles everywhere he went. They had heard him speak like no other man had ever spoken before. They had seen him nailed to a cross. They saw the crowd mock him and ridicule him as he hung on that cross. They had hoped. As long as there was breath in his body, they still had hope. They believed that as long as he had breath, he could come down off that cross. I can see some in the crowd almost anticipating that any time, at any moment, he might do just that, come off that cross. Then when he raised his head and took that last breath, when he said, "It is finished." They thought that his enemies had won. What they didn't know is what he was telling them, that prophecy would be fulfilled, that he would be put to death, that he would be buried, but he would take up his life that third day. They didn't get that. They didn't get that. He came to fulfill that prophecy. He came and paid the price for every lost person so that they could be saved. We can do nothing to earn our own salvation. You can't do it. He was that sinful, sacrificial lamb. He was the one that God would accept as full payment for our sin. He was telling the world that the job he had come to do was finished. Yeah. Those who had loved him, had forsaken all to follow him, did not know that that was what he meant. They did not know if they might be the next ones to be killed. They didn't even know, because now their leader is dead. So, like frightened animals, they all scattered behind closed doors because they could be next. But, I always like that word, but. 3 days later, up from the grave he arose. He began to make himself known to some individuals, some groups, and then as many as 500 on one occasion. The word began to spread. And as that word spread, that Christ had risen from the dead, immediately joy filled the hearts of all believers. What a day that was for God's people. Only 3 days before, they were depressed. They'd lost. What was their hope? Jesus was dead. They went from depression to being the most excited people on the face of the planet. The word began to spread, and they're all excited. I can imagine some of them running through the streets yelling, "He's alive! He's alive! He's alive! Hallelujah! Jesus Christ is alive! He is risen from the grave." From the Lord's resurrection came instant joy. Then the resurrection produced, second thing, permanent joy. Permanent joy. Every Sunday we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Every Sunday we had walked through the doors with joy in our hearts, knowing that we serve a risen Savior. So we should celebrate every Sunday, just as those women who went to that place where Jesus laid buried in the tomb, when they had the thrill of discovering that He wasn't there, that He had risen from the dead. That tomb was empty. And when you hear the angel say, "He is not here, for He is risen," what permanent joy we should have, knowing that our Savior lives. We still experience the joy and thrill of what they discovered so many years ago, because we serve a risen Savior. We should be shouting that from the rooftops. We serve a risen Savior. Jesus died, yes. He was buried, yes. But 3 days later, He arose. You know, that stone wasn't rolled back so Jesus could come out of that tomb. that stone was rolled back so there could be evidence that he wasn't there. Thank God for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank God we have his word. So we have the prophecies stating that he would come and die and rise again. He in his own word said he would come, die, and rise again. And we have the written historical facts that we can have and take. And we have the written historical facts from Paul, who said, I myself saw him after the resurrection. I don't know how much more evidence you need that Jesus, in fact, is who he said he is. But it's my prayer, if there's anyone here that's never accepted Christ as Savior, that today would be the day. We shouldn't put it off because we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. And I've said for years that I am so thankful that Jesus came and was born as a babe in the manger. And many want to keep him there. But I'm thankful that he grew and he raised up and he went about doing great things, wonderful miracles, healing people, and preaching the word. Father, we were talking just the other day about being in heaven. And the best thing about being in heaven is we no longer need the written word. We are going to learn from the word himself. But he came and he died and he rose again that we could have eternal life. And I thank you for that. I thank you for salvation. And I pray, my heart's desire is that every single human being would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Father, for those of us who have, I pray that we are not duped into believing all of the traditions of men, but that we will believe the Word of God. That we'd go back to the Scriptures, because the Scriptures record the truth. I pray for those who are blinded by Satan that the light would come and it would shine and they would see the light and get saved. So as we have a time of invitation this morning, we just pray, Father, that your will would be done, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You'll stand with me if you're able to stand this morning. As the piano plays, if you need to come, you come.